Can I get a witness? Come on, can I get a witness? Come on, I hear the preacher say it all the time. Can I get, I'm like, just talk to me, but can I get a witness? Come on, this is a process in which Jesus is talking to his disciples, and really his goal is, can I get a witness? Come on, you've seen everything that happened, you saw what went on and what's going on, but can I get somebody to talk about it? Can I get a witness here? See, many times we get into the witness protection program when it comes to sharing our faith. Instead of the Great Commission, it becomes the Great Omission. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to say nothing about it. And I know about it, but I don't like to talk about it. And we become reluctant in our faith. Some would call it even passive in our faith. Come on, if we believe in something and we know about something and we can give witness or account to it, why do we hold back? Come on, if we hear about a good movie and somebody went, man, did you see that movie? They don't have no problem giving an account or witness to what they have seen. Why? Because it pleased them and it's something that they want to get the word out. They want to witness. They want to testify of how good it was. Come on, you ever been to a good restaurant? And the food was so good, you're talking to everybody. Did you go there yet? Have you been there? Have you been to the buffet yet? Why? Because you want to give witness to what you have experienced. See, God is looking for a witness. And a lot of times we have become omission. We have become reluctant. And sometimes we have become outright defiant in our witness. And Jesus here is speaking to us through the word of God to help us, because it is sometimes only about our witness. It is about what we have seen and what we have heard. Come on, because what you see, you're going to talk about. What you hear, you're going to talk about. Because you want to give an account. You want to be a witness to what you have seen. See, but for the disciples, when Jesus told them that day that they were witnesses, something else happened. Come on, follow me, church. Amen. Something else happened.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times we come to church and we go through the mundane, and some might come for the religious aspect, some might come for the social aspect, some might come for the reluctant aspect. I don't know why you come. But something happened when Jesus told his disciples that day that you're going to be my witness. They couldn't forget what he said. See, sometimes we hear something from God in our spirit man, that we can't forget from God. It's a game changer. It changed everything about my life because of what I heard from God. Come on, this day was like no other day. And Jesus wanted to make it clear to them that it's going to be about you.
Amen.
See, sometimes we think it's about everybody else.
Right.
And Jesus wanted to make it clear, it's about you.
Amen.
It's about you. And something happened that day that changed their life. They couldn't walk away. They couldn't just give a police report and say, yeah, I saw it. See you later. But something happened today because Jesus said, you're going to be my witness.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just need to wait on the call.
Amen.
To testify.
Yeah.
Of what is to come. See, witnesses couldn't be passive back then. See, they were now a part of the story. See, and sometimes that's our challenge. That we don't realize we're part of the story now.
Amen.
It ain't just about what we read. It's about what you live in now.
Yes.
You're a part of the story.
Amen.
Oh, some people don't want to recount or relive where God found you.
Yes.
And how he changed you.
Right.
But now you have become a witness because you are a part of the story. Come on, and people will give an account about your life. Where they saw you then and where you were then and how you are now. And they become your witnesses. Come on, that's why the Bible says, let your light shine. So that men may see your... Oh, because you're a part of the story now. Come on, I know we don't want to be sometimes, if we want Jesus to be the only one that get crucified, and in the end, we want to be the one to say that's part of the story. But now our lives are part of the story. Oh, you can try to omit it. You can act like it don't happen. But if you're sitting here today, your life is part of the story. Come on, the disciples was never going to be the same again. Come on, they are living and recounting what they saw and heard. But now this is about to become, they're about to become a part of the story. Amen. Their life's about to change. Come on, the biblical word for witness, the word in the original Greek, is martyro. Martyrio. If I had access, martyrio. Come on, it is the same word that we know today as martyr. Stick with me, y'all. Can I get a witness? That's all I'm looking for. One witness today. 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 Come on. It's the Greek word martyrio. Because it speaks of our word today in English as martyr. See, originally to be a martyr was to be a witness. And through the martyr, through the centuries, we've become to associate this word with dying for a cause. Come on, can I get a witness? Come on, I don't want my witnesses to drop off because now I know what it means. Amen? Come on, the Greek word was martyr. It was martyr. You was a martyr. It was mean we're dying for a cause. Come on, we in the witness protection program now for most of us. But the reality is God has appointed us to be a martyr, witness for Him. Amen? Come on. We're dying for a cause. Come on. For centuries, we associated this word with a cause. Come on. Usually it meant dying for your faith. Come on. It's not like today in our culture where people are not, in this Western culture, where people are not being persecuted for their faith. But for many, to speak of Jesus or to speak of a different faith meant that you was a witness of something that could have caused you death. Amen. Come on, there's a reason for that. Come on, so many of the early Christians, including many of the disciples, they ended up dying for their witness. Come on, read your Bible. Amen. Come on, literally dying for their belief and their faith in Jesus Christ. And so when we hear the word martyr, or when we hear martyr, now we think of someone who paid the ultimate price. Well, some of us, we've got to go to church, and we have to do a few things in ministry, or we go a little extra mile, and we think, we're dying. Amen. But they literally gave their life for the faith. Amen. They were true witnesses. Amen. They had become martyrs for the faith. It wasn't about just the proclamation of all the good things that God did. It was the proclamation of all the things that were to come. Come on, that's why they had to wait. They had to wait for the power. Because so many times they tried and they failed. Come on, like our lives, we try and we fail. We walk a little further than we fail. Come on, God's trying to strengthen us so that we become strengthened as witnesses of the account of the story. Amen. Come on, the story is still being told. Amen. Come on, but this isn't about being killed today for your belief. And thankfully, we live in a country where we have the freedom. Come on, somebody say freedom.
Freedom.
We have freedom of belief, and no one's going to kill you for us being Christians. Amen. But that does not mean that it is not still hard. Come on, because this is about you or I giving our lives. Come on, Paul said it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Well, it isn't about a death of another kind. This is about dying to our own selfishness. Come on, our own passiveness. Our own pursuit for lives of comfort instead of lives of need. Come on, some people want to be comfortable, but they don't want to call it. They want everything to be casual, but they really want to be Christians. Come on, the casual life is not the Christian life. Can I ask anybody living? It is not the Christian life.
Amen.
Come on, this is about dying to the worst parts of ourselves. And instead of finding other lives somewhere else, that we find our life in Christ. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Just one. That's all I need.
Amen.
This is about choosing to live your life as a witness. Come on, not the kind of witness who can go home and forget about it after the police report, after what they saw. But the kind of witness that the disciples were called to be. Come on, the kind that not only sees, could be good at looking. Come on, but that's not the only kind of witness God is after. Not the one that just sees what happened. Not only the one who tells what happened, but who is transformed by what happened.
Amen.
Come on, let me say that again.
Yes.
Come on, it's not just about what you see.
Amen.
Or what you say. But it's about how you're transformed.
Yes.
By what happened. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, some incidents or some things in our life change us forever.
Yes.
They put an imprint on our life. Even if we want to do something different, we cannot. Come on, some people are marked and scarred in their memory and their psyche because of something negative they've seen in their life. Come on, and their life has never been the same. Come on, some people are ecstatic about what they see. There was a commercial the other day where the guy found out, I can't even remember what he found out, but his hands were stuck in the air.
Wow.
And his mouth was wide open because his team had won the game, I think.
Okay.
And he wouldn't move. See, something changes us when we become a witness or we become a part of what God is trying to show us and deliver in our lives. It's not just about seeing it. It's not just about telling what's seen. It's about the transformation that happens in our life because of what we witness. Amen? Can I get another witness? Come on, we'll be full of witnesses before we leave here. Amen? Come on, it's not about just what we see or just what we're talking about. It's about the transformation that happens in our life because of what we have experienced.
Amen.
Come on, it's what happens that they cannot help but to talk about. It's what happens in our life that we can't help but it's in my mind. It's on my front of my mind right now because of this incident in my life. Come on, they can't help but act like a person who has seen the risen Lord.
Amen.
And their lives and their actions reflect it. That's all I need is one witness.
Amen.
That's all I need. Come on, you don't have to get in the front pages or the headline stories to be a good witness to Christ.
Amen.
Come on. In fact, in most cases, those might work against you.
Amen.
They might work against you. Instead, you just have to do this. You can write this down.
Okay.
You have to live your life in such a way that others look at you and see God's grace.
Amen.
And his love.
Amen.
Working in you. Oh, that's our witness. Oh, some people want to feed the homeless. Some people want to rant and rave and talk about Jesus on the corners. And most people, all they need to do is live their lives so that people can see the goodness and the grace of God and his love working in your life. Is there one witness today?
Amen.
Is there one person who can live their life and others can see their Father and glorify their Father who is in heaven? Oh, you don't have to do something great in the sense of feeding the nation or winning the civil rights or starting the Protestant move, Reformation like Martin Luther. You just need to do the small things with a great love for Christ.
Amen.
Come on, now you're being a witness.
Yes.
Now you're letting your light shine and you're becoming who God has called you to be.
Yes.
Come on, some people want their name in life. Some people want to be recognized. Some people want to be known. But God says, if you're going to be my witness,
yes,
just let your light shine.
Amen.
Let your light shine.
Yes.
Come on, it's the small small things. With the great love for Christ that makes a difference in your life. Come on, secondly, your purpose in life, in everything you do, is to remember Christ's call to the disciples. Because it's not just to them, it is also to us. Amen. That you will be my witnesses. Amen. Well, your life should say something. It should say something. Well, you are the ones who tell the story of Christ's grace. Don't be looking for somebody else to tell it. Let your life tell it. Amen. You be the witness. Well, you be the storybook. Well, the Bible says, you be a living epistle. Well, what can I see in you that speaks of Christ? Come on, is your life a witness? Come on, the way we raise our kids, the way we love our families. Come on, that's the true way you see the work in you.
Amen.
Come on, the way you work in ministry, the way you serve the Lord with gladness. Come on, that's the true in how you treat your neighbors. Come on, how we treat people.
Amen.
Come on, how you use your talents and your giftings and your abilities. Come on, how you spend your money.
Amen.
Come on, that is the telltale of your witness.
Yes.
Come on, how you share your excess of what you got in your life. Come on, that's the truth in every choice that we make. We are becoming what? Christ's witness. Come on, can I get a witness? Somebody witness of God in their life. Come on, that's true in every choice that we make and how we live our lives. But it should always verify. Come on, don't prove it. It just what? Verifies. Come on, don't prove that you do it. Don't prove it. It just what? Verifies. That's all it does. That the life of Christ is in you. The hope of glory. Come on, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It emphasizes two things, and that's my two points for today, that we need to know. Well, we can talk about church, and we can talk about being a witness, but these two things are the crucial things that we have to learn about what Jesus is speaking in the scripture today. Number one is that the Holy Spirit empowers disciples.
Amen.
They couldn't do it by themselves.
No.
See, and a lot of times, we think we can do this.
Okay.
And that's how we become religious.
Amen. Amen.
Because we neglect the Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
Boy, you know how you are. You get a few scriptures, you think you're bad.
Uh-huh.
Talking to everybody else, I know this. Oh, we gotta work on that. Because we cannot do this. This is not by might. It's not by power, but it is by
Spirit.
It's by God's Spirit. Come on. And too many times we become what? Religious. We think going to church saves you. The biggest joke. We think going to church and bringing your Bible, it saves you. We think knowing the pastor, it saves you. I'm glad y'all ain't up. We got a lot of misnomers in our mind about what sanctifies and what keeps us in the Lord.
Amen.
And it has everything to do with our pride.
Amen.
And where we think we stand.
Yeah.
Come on, that's why the scripture says, let every man take heed lest he
fall.
Because the first thing we want to deal with is what? The pride in our life.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think we got more going on than we think we do. Because I've been in church, because I know the Bible, I got a few scriptures under me, I become religious, I become thinking I got it, and really I still need the Spirit of God to keep me.
Yes.
Come on, so that way we don't fool ourselves. Come on, if any man think he stands, take heed lest he fall. What is he doing? He's reminding us that you can't live prideful. Because pride always comes before you. Always does.
Amen.
Oh, that's why Satan failed. That's why so many people fall. It ain't about what happened in there. Come on, people killing their kids and weighing their kids out because of what? Pride.
Pride. Amen.
Pride. Come on, beating the brakes off of them because of pride. You ain't going to embarrass me. You ain't going to do this around me. And all they're dealing with is pride. Come on, the kind of pride that comes before the fall. And God said, we cannot be that if we're going to be witnesses for Him. We have to relinquish the whole stronghold of our intellect. Because sometimes our intellect has a stronghold on the spirit life.
Yes.
And we can't live in the spirit because of the stronghold of our minds. Come on, look at Galatians chapter 5 with me. I want to prove this out. I want to prove it out. Galatians chapter 5. Come on, y'all there?
Yeah.
Verse 16. Come on, look what the scripture says. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the
Spirit.
Just want to make sure y'all with me. For that is a big challenge for us. Come on, to witness with God, we got to stay in the Spirit. Well, some of our biggest challenges is we can't get out of our flesh. And some of our knowings and how we deal with people is always in the what?
In the flesh.
We can't get out. We can't get out of ourselves to know them in the spirit. And to know them how God, as God knows them. Come on. John chapter 4, he dealt with the woman at the well because of her flesh issues. She said, you got five husbands, and the husband you with now ain't even the one you with. What was he dealing with? Her flesh issues. Her flesh issues. And then the first thing she wanted to talk about is what?
I'm worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
How you worshiping the Lord? When you caught up in your flesh. And Jesus had to set it straight. He said, they that worship me must worship me in and in. What was he dealing with? Saying, get your flesh issue out the way. Oh, you can't know God like that. You can't even experience Him like that. All you see is what's happening is people being foolish in the church. Look at that. Because what? You can't get out your flesh. Well, that's why Paul gives us this. He said he, to the Galatians, he said, walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Why? So that you do not fulfill the lust of the
flesh.
I just wanted to verify my point. I just want to verify my point. He encouraged us to walk in the Spirit so that we don't what? Give in to our flesh.
Amen.
And too many times we give in to our what?
Flesh.
When you should be fasting and praying, you eating and talking. That was in the Spirit. That was in the Spirit. That wasn't on my notes. Oh, what is that? We giving in to the flesh. We should be dedicating and devoting ourselves. We're trying to figure out how to fix ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. And Jesus said, if you draw nigh unto Him, He going to what? And here we are trying to fix our life. I'm going to fix myself.
No.
And the reality is all I need to do is what? Get closer to God.
Yeah.
The biggest challenge that people have and that they're dealing with in their life is because they, instead of getting closer to God, they get what? You give up. You still come to church. You still sometimes taking notes. You still sometimes want to sing and worship God. But your life is what? And God has called you to get what? That means what? I got to spend more time dedicating to Him. I got to spend more time searching for Him. I got to spend more time reading my Bible. Because when I get closer to Him, He what? He gets. The more time I spend reading my Bible, the more time I spend meditating on my notes, the more time I get in His presence, the better I am. Come on, the more time we spend away, come on, because we're busy and we got to work. Come on, the further we get away. Oh, that's why our life gets impacted the way it does. Because what? It wasn't that God moved, it's because what? God didn't change his mind, did he? He still loved you with everlasting love. He still calls you. But you keep moving. You keep shuffling and jiving. You keep moving around. And he wanted to make sure, just come on, keep coming to me. And I'll change the circumstances. And I'll change your life. Come on, some of the circumstances in our life, we ain't never going to be able to change on our own. We need to be empowered by the Spirit of God. Come on, them bad choices you've been making, you still will make them. Because you lean into your own understanding and not into the Spirit. Well, that's why we is doing church as a fundamental. And something to do with some religious practice. We're doing it so that we become morally better. That we become ethically better. Culturally better. Because it's not our way, it is God's way. Well, we are challenged there. He said, walk in the Spirit so that you don't give in to your flesh. And many times that's what we do. And every day, it's a tug of war. Come on, John. You know we have to do that. Come on, John. I am for you this time. Come on, every day. Come on, your spirit say, do this. But your flesh is pulling you. And every day, we had a tug of war. And sometimes we don't even want to acknowledge it because it becomes so routine in our life. Boy, it may be your diet. It may be the way you talk. It may be how you treat people. But every day you're in a tug of war. Oh, God. And some people can tell because your hair What's going on with you? What's going on? Yes. And we don't know for one day or the next. Why? Because of the tug of war. Yeah. Your flesh wants you to do what they want you to do. Yeah. But the Spirit of God wants you to do what it wants you to do. Come on, John. I'm going to pull you this afternoon. You're pulling the car. And then what? It becomes a real tug of war. If we battle it, yeah, we got to pull forward. Because if you pull with me, we can pull. Come on, that's how the Spirit works. The more we build up in our spirit, the flesh can keep pulling hard, too. 268, 280 in the That's the way it works. If we feed our spirit and our spirit, we're going to be stronger to pull against the adversary. Because they both are part of your life. You see your flesh, right? They both are part of your life. But we choose which one has the weight. If the Spirit is pulling with me and I want to go with the Spirit, I go for the flesh. He can pull hard. He can't stop it. He can't stop it. And that's the way it is in our life. If we lean to the Spirit of God and give way to God's Spirit in our life, He can overcome our flesh issues. We don't have flesh issues. And sometimes I want to be with my flesh issues. I want to watch my game. Hey, guess what? They're going the other way. I want to do what I want to do. And guess what? He pulled the heart, too. And it's a tug of war. It's a real pull in our life. And until we recognize that pull, we ignore the war. Yeah. Come on, that's why Paul said in Romans 7, he says, it's a battle with one inside. When I want to go do right, evil would always be present. So what I will go to do right, evil would always be there. Oh, and that's the way it is in our life. We got a spiritual tug of war. And sometimes it keeps us out of balance. Because my flesh can't do this, but my spirit man says, stand. Amen. And then every day, what? I'm dealing with it. It's back. And we got to figure out, come to church, hear the word of God is a good start. Amen. But don't forget just on Mondays that what happened on Sunday. That every day is a fight. Yes. Come on, give him a hand. Amen. For that two of you to talk. For this little baby here too. Come on, we are in a spiritual warfare, sir. It's a spiritual warfare. So that we are not witnesses for Christ. So that our life does not speak of Christ. So that it has no testimony or witness of who Jesus is in our life. Come on, the flesh lusts, verse 17, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Why? They're still both a part of us, but they're contrary one to another. Well, that's why some of our spiritual principles have to do with denying the flesh. Well, some people can't worship God. They don't know how to praise and worship because they don't know how to get in the spirit. They want everything to have meaning or definition to it. And some things in life have no meaning and they have no definition. Well, you can try to define God, but he's way out of this world.
Amen.
He's indescribable. Oh, why? Because God's not trying to be put in your box.
That's right.
And say, this is who he is, and that's all he is. No, he's bigger than that.
Amen.
He's bigger than that. Well, it becomes a challenge to get into worship because sometimes we're so fleshly oriented. We want to praise the Lord in spirit and in truth, but I can't get myself out the way. How I think, what I did. Come on, I don't know what people think. I don't know how people and get themselves in the position to worship. Because worship is an inside job. Oh, you can't come in here thinking of worrying about what people got on, who hair fixed and who hair not fixed, and they got their makeup on today or not on today. Come on, you can't come in with that kind of mentality. Because if you come in with that kind of mentality, you're going to miss God. Because God is not wrapped up in the flesh. He's wrapped up in the spirit.
Yes.
That's why we are talking about this year the divine revelation. So that we can see things different. Because if I can see it different, it's going to be different in my life.
Amen.
Come on, that's how God changes our life. He gives us a new perspective. I don't do it the same way. I don't live it the same way because I see things totally different. I want to see it how God wants me to see it. Well, I can't get in the spirit of God and worship him if all I'm thinking about is my shoes shining.
Oh, wow.
Are my shoes tied? Is my tie straight? I forget it. Forget it. If that ain't fixed before you come into worship, don't worry about it. Let people see you raggedy. Don't worry. They don't care.
Amen. Come on.
Well, we've got to get to that place because the spirit and the flesh are contrary.
Yeah.
They may live in the same house. But they don't occupy the same space. Come on. And this goal is, here it is, they're contrary so that you do not do the things that you should. New King James Version, that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, sometimes we so under the law. Come on, he said, and these works of the flesh are evident. See, sometimes people equate these as sin. And they are sin, but really all they are works of the flesh. And if you can get your flesh straight, clean, then you can get rid of some of these things.
Amen.
Look, he gave me the big ones. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies. Come on, don't get this one. Outbursts of wrath. Always mad. Come on, this is a big list. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness. I'm just trying to make sure y'all know it. They all around. Revelries. And anything like that, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But see, that's important. We can't be witnesses for Christ if we still dabble with it. Well, remember what Jesus said. He said, the kingdom has what? Come in. If none of those things, if none of those behaviors, you can't live in the kingdom. And many times we are challenged with that as people of God because we deal with this stuff. You might not be fornicating, but you sure got envy.
Amen.
Or you might not be backsliding, but you sure got adultery. Oh, we got to deal with this because that's the only way to become God's witnesses. For it is not by might, it is by my spirit, says the Lord. For the kingdom of God has come to you. Oh, God, Jesus is making the explanation. The second thing, not only do we need to have the power of the Holy Spirit, Spirit-filled disciples witness about Jesus.
Amen.
Spirit-filled disciples witness about Jesus. Well, verse 8 says it here. He says, and when you, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Oh, Acts 1 verse 8. You shall be what?
Amen.
Can I get one more witness?
Amen.
That's all God's looking for.
Amen.
You shall be witnesses to me. And then he goes on to name the territories. And really all he's saying is, everywhere you go,
Amen.
You will be my witness. But the only way you're going to be my witness is what? You're filled with the Spirit. Well, that's a qualifying word. I'm telling you, we were Baptists for years. I'm telling you, for years, we were religious. Then God showed up in our life with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
People can talk about holy rollers all they want. They can talk about Baptistical all they want. Pentecostal, whatever you want to call it. But when the Holy Spirit shows up in your life, that's the difference, man. Oh, that's the game changer, amen? Well, we can look for a lot of things to take place in our life and search for a lot of things to fix our life. But until we become filled with the Spirit, it's hard to be a witness. It's hard to be a witness. Well, I can tell you so many times I tried and still kept bending back in my flesh. Had no power. Had no inside charge.
Right.
Had no indwelling. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit introduced himself to me
Amen.
That now my life can change.
Amen.
Boy, I can tell you, if we're going to be a witness and be a witness for God, we need that.
Amen.
We need to be filled with his Spirit.
Yeah.
Boy, he makes a qualification in Galatians where he says walk in the Spirit, but it's going to be hard to walk in something you don't have.
Come on, man.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's like walking in my armor and you don't have it.
Amen.
No, you need to be filled with God's Spirit.
Amen.
Well, his Spirit makes the difference in our life.
Amen.
Well, we need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He can take the gospel we preach and use it to bring men and women to Christ.
Amen.
To repentance. To change their life. Well, he can replace their old hearts with new ones and give them a hunger to live for righteousness. When Jesus told the inquisitive disciples, because they all wanted to know. It's like we want to know. They all wanted to know. Instead of worrying about the timing of the second coming, first they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and then they'll be witnesses for Christ. Well, we all part of the story.
Amen.
We all part of the story. Well, this was and is God's plan for people.
Amen.
It's not too much to say that this is God's job description for all his children.
Amen.
To be a witness.
Amen.
Well, Jesus said, he said, and you will be my witness.
Amen.
You will be my witnesses.
Amen.
Everywhere you go.
Amen.
You will be my witnesses.
Amen.
Cool. And that means what? To declare the truth to another person.
Amen.
What did you see?
Amen.
How's it working in your life?
Amen.
Cool. How's it working in your life? Well, we're called to be a witness.
Amen.
Our challenge is we have to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives.
Yes.
Well, we're about this Saturday, we're going to hit the streets. And we're not going to try to in the demonstration of what somebody else knows. I'm going in the demonstration of what we know.
Amen.
Yeah. What I can testify of.
Amen.
Boy, I may not be able to tell you what God has done in your life, but I can tell you what God has done in my life.
Amen.
When can we get to the place where it is not about what somebody else's life is about? It is about our part of the story.
Amen.
Can I give witness to what God has done in my life?
Amen.
Come on, can I give witness to what God is doing in my life?
Amen.
Come on, sometimes we just don't want to tell it all. But sometimes we got to tell it all and shame the devil.
Amen.
Come on, some people need to know what's up in the church. They need to know. Some robbers is up in the church. They need to know. Some people up here have been messed up in the church.
Amen.
Some drinkers up in the church.
Amen.
Some smokers.
Come on.
They need to know.
Come
on, because sometimes the people outside think the people inside. And they got the wrong their representation.
Yes.
And sometimes they think everybody that go to church is different from anybody else that's not in.
Amen.
And really the only thing that makes us different is the God in the hope of glory.
Amen.
Well, that's what makes us different. Oh, we ain't no different. You still believe the same. You still hurt the same.
Amen.
You still have the troubles. We still have the same.
Amen.
But what makes us different is I got this anchor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And though the wind may blow,
yeah.
And the storms may keep rising,
yeah.
I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Come on, we're anchored in the Lord. And that's what we have to understand. And part of our anchor is to know that God has called us in part of the story.
Amen.
Come on, the reason why you're here today is God's divine assignment.
Yeah.
Come on, you can be his witness.
Amen.
You can be his witness.
Yeah.
In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go. Come on, the reason sometimes we don't open our mouths is not because we don't know what to say. It's not because of that. It's because we're not giving place first to the Spirit.
Amen.
Come on, before we even go out, we need to spend time not praying at our intellect. Sometimes we want to pray at our intellect.
Amen.
Oh, most holy God, do it in this way, God, and shift me and put me on. It felt good.
Yes.
But it may not have been what God wanted to do.
Yes.
Come on. This Bible says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things. He's way beyond our intellect. Come on. The more I live, the more I find that out. I can't outthink him. I can't figure him out. It's just who he is. Come on. We can name him Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah. We can call him what we want to call him. Sometimes he's just right on time, God. He don't even have a name. He's just there. Amen. God is shifting us, church, to make sure that we can see him as he needs to be seen.
Yes.
So that we can be a witness. Part of the story. Well, because if you can't identify what God has done in your life, you can't help anybody else.
Amen.
You can't help anybody else. Well, we all have a start.
Yes.
We all have a beginning.
Amen.
And God knows the end.
Amen.
And our job is to trust him in the middle.
Amen.
We just got to trust him in the middle.
Amen.
Might not feel right. Might not even look right. But I trust you in the middle. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All that pulling and jumping and all this.
Yeah.
Every head bow.
Thank you, Lord.
My altar call today is for those who want to receive his fullness. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, that was the prerequisite. He said, just wait right here. And when he started singing that song, he waited. I almost jumped out of my seat. Y'all just don't know. When God started confirming stuff, he just started, when he said, and wait for the promise, I said, oh my God. See, some of us, we just got to wait. Because God has been what? Patient with us. And the disciples' life changed. Everything changed in their life because they did one thing. They waited on God. He said, just wait right here. See, they was in a rush. They wanted, overthrow the kingdom. We're going to take it back. And he said, wait a minute. The times and the seasons is just killed for one mile. You don't need to know that. Well, sometimes we want to know too much. I want to know this. I want to know. Figure this out. We ain't never going to figure it out.
No.
Just walk in the Spirit. Amen. And the Spirit will lead you in the right direction. He will lead you into all truth. He will not lie. They wanted to know. And he said, just wait right here. I'm going to give you the power. First to be my witness. Come on, everywhere you go. Come on, everybody should be subject to you. Come on, when we really full of the Spirit, everybody is subject to you. You go to Real Lobster today, they're going to be, the wenches are going to be subject to you. Because you're going to be what? In the Spirit. And the Spirit's going to speak. And when the Spirit starts speaking and starts moving, everything changes.
Amen.
We're not the same anymore. And that's what we want to be.
Amen.
I don't want to be the same anymore.
No.
If I stay the same and think the same and act the same, then I'm going to get the same
thing.
And somewhere I read, God wants to take me from glory to glory. That means what? I can't stay on the bottom rung. Got to go up. That means my faith, the faith has got to go up. So today as we close, I want to give us opportunity. Maybe you've been filled with the Spirit. Pray for others. Maybe you feel right now. Pray for others.
Amen.
But we need this. We need this baptism. We need the injury. We need the fullness. Well, some of the petty issues that we deal with, that we still can't break. Some people still smoking. Some people still drinking. Some people still cussing. Some people still, they ain't got no control because the flesh is controlling them. And God said, it's because you're not healed. If you can feel your life, you can change your life.
Amen.
Come on, and God wants to do that.
Amen.
Come on, Luke chapter 11, he talks about those who ask for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He said, evil men know how to give gifts to their children.
Yeah.
How much more does your Father want to give you the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.